Well, hello, welcome. My name's Dave. I'm one of the pastors here. If you're visiting with us, definitely want to welcome you guys here on this absolutely gorgeous May Sunday. If you're a regular here, we're glad you're here too. But we're in a series called Visible. We're going through fruits of the Spirit. And what the Bible tells us, when you become a Christian, when you accept Christ, the Holy Spirit lives within you and begins to produce things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control in your life. And someone asked me, you know, how do you know someone is a Christian? And there are a lot of people walking around in church, a lot of people that wear the label Christian, but if they do not have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control in their lives, then basically the Holy Spirit is not within them, and they're not living the kind of life that God wants them to live. So you guys, how many VeggieTale fans we have out here? Got VeggieTale fans out here? All right. I missed the whole VeggieTales thing. I'm a little bit too old for that, but my kids love it. And my youngest son, Sam, has really got into this one story called Josh and the Big Wall. It's an older one, but it's about the wall of Jericho and how the children of Israel, looking a lot like Larry the Cucumber, walk up to the wall and they walk around it and the walls fall down. It's a really neat thing. And as I was looking at the topic of faithfulness, I started thinking about Josh and the Big Wall. I started thinking about the story of the Israelites coming out of Egypt and going into the Promised Land. So you guys know about Moses, probably. You've seen the Prince of Egypt, or you've heard of Moses at least, you know, parting the Red Sea and everything. And they walk through the Red Sea, and they're on their way to the Promised Land. And right as soon as they're getting into the right up to the land that God has given to them, you know, 400 years ago, promised to Abraham, this was for the nation of Israel. Moses sends out 12 spies. He says, go check out the land. I want to see what kind of land it is, see who's living there. What are we up against? So 12 guys go in there, and they spy. They look at the whole land. They come back. Two of them, guys named Joshua and Caleb, say, hey, we can go take it. It's ours. This is a great place to be. It's wonderful. Let's go in and take it. But the other 10 say, no, there's no way we can do this. It's scary. The people are huge. They got fortified cities. They'll beat us. We can't do it. We need to leave. And the whole Israelite nation listens to the 10. And on the verge of doing this great thing and taking this huge blessing that God has for them, they pull back. And God says, because you did not trust me, you didn't think that I was faithful, you didn't think that I was going to do what I said I was going to do, which is drive out the people and give you this land, you're going to wander in the desert for 40 years. And this until the entire generation dies off and a new generation, I'm going to try this new. So basically what we're looking at is a nation of Israel was right on the edge of believing God's faithfulness. They were right on the edge. And then they left. They pulled back, and the result was the desert. And in our lives right now, God calls us to do things all the time. He tells us to trust in His faithfulness, to be faithful to His call. And a lot of times we get right up to the edge, and we back away. And the result is what you see a lot of times in the lives of people in churches. You see basically a desert. You see a place where there's not much fire, not much passion, not necessarily anything real bad, but just very dry, very, very distilled, no passion, no fire, no growth. That's what the desert is, and that's what happens when we don't trust in God's faithfulness. We wander in the desert. You guys, but the thing about the desert is it doesn't last forever. If that's where you are right now, God will give you the exact same challenge again and again and again to trust His faithfulness. See, in the story of the nation of Israel, they went right to the edge, and they wandered in the desert. And then 40 years later, God said, okay, go. This time they have a new leader, a guy named Joshua. He was one of the original spies. And the nation of Israel went up to the edge again, and they sent in some spies, and then they said, we can do it. Let's do it. And this time they embraced God's faithfulness. They didn't reject His faithfulness. They embraced His faithfulness. And a lot of us know the story. They go up to the city of Jericho. They decided that they're going to believe who God is. They're going to believe God is who He says He is. They're going to go and be faithful to God's call. So all of a sudden they see this huge city of Jericho. And they say, okay, God, now what? And God says, I want you to walk around the wall. And so they say, cool. So they walk around it. And that night, they go up to God and they say, okay, God, what do you want now? Now what? I want you to walk around it again. We already seen it once, God. It's a big wall. But okay, so they walk around it again. And they say, okay, very, very cool. Awesome. Now, God, what do we do? I want you to walk around it again. Okay, well, we'll do it. And so it's kind of like the Karate Kid with Mr. Miyagi. You know, he's, you know, paint the fence, wax on, wax off. Daniel's son does not understand why, but he does it. And just like Daniel and the Karate Kid, the nation of Israel starts getting a little kind of hacked off. Like, you know, why are we doing this? Why do we keep walking around this wall every day? They do this 7 times, and yet they continue to be faithful. They continue to do what God says to do. And then on the 7th day, God says, I want you to walk around it 7 times. Then I want the priests to blow on the trumpets, and I want everyone to shout. And, you know, by this time, I'm thinking, and if I'm one of the Israelite soldiers, I'm thinking to myself, this is the stupidest thing in the entire world. They're laughing at us from behind that wall. They're throwing stuff at us. They're making fun of us the whole time. We look like idiots. Why are we doing this? But they continue to do it. And they walk around 7 times. The priests blow the ram's horn, the people shout, and all of a sudden the walls of Jericho come tumbling down. See, a lot of times when God calls us to do something, he asks us to do some things that may not make a whole lot of sense. But we do them anyway because we're faithful to God. And I want you guys to keep that in the back of your mind, that story in the back of your mind, as we talk about the spiritual fruit of faithfulness looks like in our lives. First thing we got to start with is that God is faithful to us, okay? Listen to what 1 Corinthians 10:13 says. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so you can stand up underneath it. So in other words, a lot of us are going through stuff right now. Life is tough. Matter of fact, Socrates said, he said, be kind to everyone because everyone you see is facing a tough battle. Everyone is being tempted. Everyone is having struggles right now. But what the Bible says is that, listen, no matter what it is you're going through, it is a common thing. Everyone is going through it, and God is faithful. What you are going through, you can handle. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. Everything that you are facing right now, God knows you, he knows the situation, and he looks at you and says, you can handle this with my help. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. Whatever it is you're facing, that is God's promise to you, that you will not, this thing will not consume you. You can handle it. And so with that kind of faithfulness, knowing that God is not going to give us anything we can't bear, we have a charge to be faithful to God. So our faithfulness, after God's faithfulness, our faithfulness, I found this out, you guys, is that faithfulness, number one, faithfulness is a choice. It's a choice. Every morning I wake up and I say, God, today I am choosing to be faithful to you. I'm faithful to you. I have to choose it. It doesn't just happen. And every day I wake up and I say, Rachel, my wife, I'm going to be faithful to you. I'm choosing you over all the others. I'm choosing you over everything. To this church, I say, Catalyst Christian Church, I'm choosing to be faithful to you. I'm going to do what I need to do for this church today. It's an everyday choice. You guys, Romans 12:12 says this, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. It is a choice. You guys, the secret of faithfulness, and you guys need to get this, the secret of faithfulness is not addition. It's not, okay, I need to do this, I need to do this, and I need to do this. The secret of faithfulness is elimination. It's giving yourself spiritual liposuction. It is getting rid of. It is eliminating things that distract. The focus of faithfulness needs to be directed, intentional filtering of things that are distracting to you. So you guys, what do you need to eliminate in order to be more faithful to God? That's what we need to be asking ourselves. Not what do I need to do more of, what do I need to eliminate? See guys, nation of Israel, when they were facing going into the promised land, they had to eliminate fear and doubt so that they could focus on their courage. See, guys, they couldn't focus on the courage while they had fears and doubts. They had to get rid of their fears and doubts so they could see their courage. And maybe you guys need to eliminate debt. so that you can allow you to focus on the freedom that Christ gives you. Maybe you need to eliminate some of your friends and allow you to focus on relationships that really matter. Maybe you need to eliminate a bad habit or a sinful habit so you can use your time and your resources in a God-honoring way. You know, maybe some of you guys need to eliminate an out-of-balance schedule, allow you to focus on what's really important. When I became a Christian, the first thing I had to do, I became a Christian in high school. The first thing I had to do, and God did it for me, He eliminated about 90% of my friends. And it really wasn't too bad a thing because they were not the kind of friends that would have encouraged me and be faithful to God. They found out I was a Christian. They said, cool, never heard from them again. But God allowed me, by cutting those friends out, allowed me to be more faithful to Him. I had to eliminate alcohol. I had to. It was keeping me from following God. I had to eliminate some of the things that came out of my mouth. Those things, in order to be faithful, I had to focus on Him. I had to eliminate things. And that's what faithfulness is. It's eliminating the unimportant. So, you guys, what do you need to eliminate in order to be more faithful to God? The second thing is, after we choose faithfulness, after we eliminate, we choose and focus, we will find out that faithfulness is always rewarded. Always. Always rewarded. Always, always, always. Zero exceptions. Not always in our time, but in God's time. In Matthew 25, 21, Jesus tells a parable, and he shows a parable of a master and three servants. Master hands to one servant, he hands 5 talents, and that was a pretty significant sum of money. Another one, he gives 2 talents, significantly less. And to one, he hands 1 talent. And then he goes away. Well, the one with the 5 immediately goes out and invests his money, and I don't know what he does, but he brings in 5 more talents. The one with 2 goes out and invests the money and brings back 2 more talents, doubles it. And the one who has the 1 buries it, does nothing with it. Well, the master comes back, and he calls all 3 of his servants in front of him. And the first one says, look, you gave me 5, I got you 5 more. The one that said, look, you gave me 2, I got you 2 more. And the one that did nothing with it said, hey, here you go, I did nothing with it. Well, to the two that did something with their talents, the owner says this, the master says this. He says, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with small things. Now I'm going to give you greater things. And to the one that did nothing with it, he said, you wicked and lazy servant, give me your talent. Give it, and I'm going to give it to the one who has 10. In other words, when we do nothing, if he is unfaithful with the small, that even what he has will be taken from him. And this is the way life is, okay? Let's take a look at this. Let's say you're working at McDonald's or you're working fast food and you're working minimum wage job, and you say, okay, well, this is my situation right now. I'm going to be the best minimum wage employee ever seen in this place, so good that whenever I leave, they're going to have to hire 3 people to replace me. You're on time, you work hard, you're courteous to customers, you do the best job you've ever seen. What is going to happen to you? The manager's going to say, you have been faithful with this entry-level position. Here, become assistant manager. Here, become a manager. Now, if on the other hand, some of us walk in and we say, I'm just making minimum wage. This isn't going to be my career for the rest of my life. I'm just going to, whatever. You're 15 minutes late. You put your feet up on the desk and you go to sleep on the job. You're rude to the customers. You do a halfway job. Even what you have is going to be taken from you. You're going to get fired. See, faithfulness is always rewarded. And a lot of times, God gives us very small, meaningless, insignificant tasks to see, not so much if we have the ability to do that, but if we will be faithful in the small things. See, character is built in the small things. It is always, always rewarded. That's in our jobs. In friendships, it's the same thing. If you have a couple friends, and you eliminate the backstabbing, you eliminate the gossip, and you eliminate all the garbage, you will see that friendship grow and the joy of that friendship grow. Same thing with marriage. If you guys know the joy of a marriage where the competition has been eliminated, where the wife knows that there is nothing competing for her husband's eyes. There's no pornography. There's no other person. There's no flirting at work. There's nothing. Well, all that has been eliminated and cut off, and the faithfulness there, and the husband knows that there's no competition for his wife's heart. There's no romance novels. There's no guy at the works. There's no flirting with the neighbor. All that has been eliminated, and the faithfulness between the two, and God says, you've been faithful with this. I'm going to give you greater joy. Faithfulness is always, always rewarded. Okay, but sometimes it doesn't work, right? You're the nice guy. You show up to work all the time. The guy, your coworker shows up half an hour late, steals from the cash register. He gets promoted to manager in front of you. Yeah, sometimes that happens. You're faithful. People walk all over you. Yeah, it happens. It happens in the short term. But people, one thing that I have always that I've learned is that people are always, always shown for who they are in the end. Always. Always shown for who they are. If there's a lazy employee, he or she will be shown for a lazy employee. You cannot fool everyone forever. If you are an unfaithful husband or unfaithful wife, you will be found out. If you are an unfaithful boss, if you are an unfaithful friend, and you spend your time talking about people behind the back, you will be found out. You will be shown for who you are. Always, always, 100% of the time. The Bible says what's done in secret will be shouted from the rooftops. So, guys, faithfulness is always rewarded. Always. But you guys, that's just in earthly things. It's also, more importantly, rewarded in heavenly things. You guys know that? Faithfulness is always rewarded in heavenly things. In Revelation 2:10, Jesus says this to the church. He says, "Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life." Guys, it is my contention that is going to become more and more difficult to live the Christian life in this society. We're in a society that increasingly devalues the church, devalues Christ, devalues Christianity, and it's become more and more difficult for people who call themselves Christians to live the Christian life. It will become more difficult. We'll start seeing more and more persecution in this country. And you know what? That's fine, because that's what believers have gone through for the last 20, the last 2,000 years in this world, and they're doing just fine. So don't worry about it, but be faithful even to the point of death. You guys, I was reading a book called In the Grip of Grace by Max Lucado, and he was talking about being faithful. He was talking about persevering, and I wanted to just share this with you guys. A lot of us, we struggle. We struggle with being faithful. We have trouble. We're tempted, and we sin, and we fall, and we feel guilty about it, all that kind of stuff. And he says this to you guys. Some interpret the presence of the battle as the abandonment of God. Their logic goes something like this. I'm a Christian, but my desires are nothing but Christian. Okay? No child of God would ever do what I have done. And not only that, no child of God would do what I keep doing repeatedly. Nobody would ever do that. God accepted me way back then, but I've just done too much. I've messed up too many times. And that is Satan sowing the seeds of shame, he says. If he can't seduce you with your sin, he'll let you sink in your guilt. Nothing pleases Satan more than for you to cower in the corner, embarrassed that you're still dealing with some old habit. And see if this sounds familiar to you guys. God's tired of your struggles, he whispers. Your father is weary of your petitions for forgiveness. How many times are you going to ask him to forgive you for this sin? And many believe him, spending years convinced that they are disqualified from the kingdom. Can I really go to the well of grace that many times? I don't deserve to ask for forgiveness again. When he says, I love this, he says, forgive my abrupt response, but who told you deserve forgiveness in the first place? When you came to Christ, did he know every sin that you committed? Yeah. When he saved you, did he know every sin you were going to commit? Absolutely. And yet he accepted you anyway. Jesus saved you. And so it sounds like to me that God's already proven his point. If sin were too great for his grace, he would never save you in the first place. Besides, I like this. The very fact that you're under attack shows that you are in God's camp. Why would Satan spend any time whatsoever on people that are already his? Okay? I wouldn't attack the members of my own army. I would attack the members of the opposite army. okay? And the very fact that you are tempted, the very fact that you struggle, the very fact that you struggle to stay faithful to God shows that you are on, that you are in God's army. And not only that, but it shows, I believe, that Satan is afraid of you. Could it be that the reason that you are facing sexual temptation, the reason that you are struggling with your mouth, the reason you're struggling with being faithful to God is because Satan fears the missionary you could become? He fears the father that you could become if you were to eliminate the distractions and go after faithfulness to God with gusto. Could it be that he fears the wife that you could become if you eliminate distractions and you raised your children in a way that's consistent with Scripture and raised up children to love God? Could it be that he fears that? Could it be that Satan fears the person you could become at your school or your place of business because of your faithfulness to him and the witness there, and that's why he's trying to distract you and take you down so much? I believe that. Could it be that you're under attack, not because you're so weak, but because you are so very strong and such a threat to Satan's kingdom? Perhaps that he hopes in defeating you today, he'll have one less missionary or writer or giver or singer to fight with tomorrow. You guys, that's why God says, be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. Ultimately, guys, faithfulness is ultimately to God's call on our lives. Are you going to choose to pursue God's call on your life? When that happens, some amazing stuff happens. God has given us all a commission. It's in Matthew 28. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And I'm with you always to the very end of the age. I was over at Asbury Seminary a couple of weeks ago, my alma mater. I hadn't been there in about 11 years. And I was visiting with some people in this congregation that are from Kenya that are at Asbury Seminary. I love it. I love sitting down with people from Kenya. My brothers and sisters over there, you say, well, how are you brothers and sisters? Well, because people that have the same father, well, they're brothers and sisters. And God is my father, and God is their father, and therefore we're brothers and sisters. Isn't that wonderful? Well, I sat down with a guy named Michael Lowarikoi. I can't pronounce his last name, but he's amazing. And he was telling me about his ministry over in Kenya. And this is a guy who he accepted Christ and became a Christian and was immediately went into the mission field. Well, there's a group of people called the Maasai in northern Kenya, and they're nomadic, they're tribal, and he immediately went to go share Christ with them. And he noticed that the Maasai children, they picked up these big water containers. They left about 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning, picked up big water containers, and they walked away. And then they got back about 5 or 6 o'clock that night carrying water. And the next morning, they did the same thing. And then the next morning, they did the same thing. And the next morning, they did the same thing. 7 days a week. That was their life. They went to get water. They had to walk 6 or 7 miles to go get water. And he followed them one day. And he found that the water, that they were going to the closest water supply, when the children got there, there were cows and animals in the water, like using the bathroom. And it was muddy and disgusting. And they had to, like, shoo animals away, and that was their water. That was their drinking water. That was their cooking water. That was their bathing water. And he said, this is horrible. This is awful. And so what he did, God gave him a calling right there that he would start a ministry that would dig wells. Most of water in Africa is groundwater. It's way underneath the surface where no one can get to it. And he would start a ministry where he would dig wells so that the children would not have to spend their whole day going to get filthy water, but they could play, they could go to school, they could it could free them up to have a water source. And so he started raising money, and he started to do this. And after he would dig a well, the tribe's life was changed. He would come in, and he would preach to them about Jesus. He had earned the right to preach to them about Jesus because he'd satisfied such a fundamental need that they had. Safe, clean water. I challenge all of you guys this week to go a week without using water in the house. Attach a garden hose. Use all of your water from just that garden hose. Shower, drinking, cooking, everything like that. See just a small thing of what they go through. But long story short, you guys, the faithfulness of one man who had he had to eliminate the desire to keep things as they were. He had to eliminate laziness. He had to eliminate the status quo. He had to eliminate the comfort zone. And he had to step out in faithfulness to God. He had gotten to the edge of the promised land. And God said, be faithful. And he went. And you guys, I want to challenge all of you guys to choose faithfulness to God. God has already chosen faithfulness to you. He's already chosen faithfulness to you. Choose faithfulness to God. And eliminate whatever is destroying your faithfulness to God. Eliminate it. It's not worth it. It's simply fat. It's fat on your spiritual body. Liposuction it off. Get rid of it so you have no hindrance. And then begin to see the rewards, the earthly rewards, the heavenly rewards. Remember, stand firm. Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. That is Jesus' promise to you. You guys, faithfulness is ultimately to God's call in our lives. That's what it is. It's what it's all about. And my prayer is that this church, the people in here, would choose today to be faithful to God, to be faithful to the calling. And there, in turn, we would see both the earthly and the heavenly benefits of faithfulness to God. I want to invite all you guys to stand up and sing praises to the God who's faithful to us. And who calls us to be faithful to him.